3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. I am back. Yes, I'm thrilled to be back. Yesterday was a great day. It was an interesting day. I actually was up at Patrick Henry High School, I don't know, an hour or 2 hours ago, a little ice cream social for the graduates in Ms. Mitchell's special ed class. So Julia and one of her classmates are, quote, graduating. And I told you yesterday, and this is what I wanted to chat about briefly, because before we talked about the latest crisis impacting the city of Richmond, it just gets better every day, doesn't it? But yesterday I shared with you what a bizarre sort of a week it is on a personal basis, because in just a couple of days, Julia, she's 22, I know, but Julia will be done with school. She will be, quote, graduating from high school, 16th grade, as we joke about. But it is a little bizarre. It's a lot bizarre. It's a lot weird. Because Julia's always going to be a baby in many ways, and yet she's 22 years old. And so our entire lives have just taken this flippy, floppy, topsy-turvy sort of a thing. And I talked about it a little bit, and today I saw one of my favorite people. And I do mean one of my favorite people anywhere. And I won't identify him because he's such a humble man. All right, I'll identify him. Lieutenant Jim Head, who heads up the Navy Junior ROTC program at Patrick Henry. Just a rock-solid dude in every sense of the word. He is exactly who it is that you want your kids looking to and learning from and all that other good stuff. But he saw me, we were just chatting for a couple of moments. He said, yeah, you know, yesterday was a little maudlin, huh? Yeah, I know. And my whole week has been a little maudlin as a result of the Julia graduation. I mean, most of us would be happy, and I am happy. I don't want you to think I'm not, but it's just a little weird. So that's the background on everything. And then last night, you want to talk about a highlight. One of the highlights, I was going to say, of my week, but heck, it's Wednesday. No, one of the highlights of the month, we're at the end of the month. How about one of the highlights of my life? As I got to present to the members of the 143rd basic class for the Virginia State Police. To be there in front of these young men and women, and make no mistake, I looked out and I thought, yeah, they're young. They are young. And they have been at the Virginia State Police Academy now for 17 weeks. They're well, God willing, they're going to cross that finish line in October. And just to see them there, and you have to understand, I was presenting at 18:15 hours, 6:15. And, you know, the State Police Academy is really far away from me. But I got there. And what you have to remember is that, I almost said kids, and I don't mean that, but these young folks who are in training, their day starts at 5:40. At 5:40 every morning, they have to be outside, dressed, ready to go for some, you know, light PT. That's 5:40 in the morning. Now, what time do you think you get up to actually hit the deck at 5:40 in the morning? I'm saying at the latest, 5 o'clock. So here comes me. It is 6:15 in the evening. They should be enjoying a little R&R. They finish up all of their other assignments. And remember, it's a live-in barracks, kids. So they're doing everything. They've got cleaning details. They've got cafeteria details. All of that in addition to studying. A lot of studying, a lot of practice, etc. And here I am at 6:15. And they're thinking, who the heck is this guy? God. And you know, it was really neat in a way. When I first started talking, I said, all right, how many of you know Jeff Katz from the radio? And only a couple of them sort of kind of knew. Everybody else was like, no, you know, sir, we don't know. And you know what? I was thrilled. Now, it's not that I don't want everybody possible listening to the show. Of course I do. And I thought, this is good because I'm not here as the guy on the radio. I'm here as somebody who used to push a squad car around, used to make arrests, used to be in a place that you're about to be. And I understand some of the challenges. And not just the challenges from the jobs, but the challenges from life that get in the way of the job. And so I was absolutely thrilled to be there. And it was just such an honor to present Why Would Anyone Want to Do That Job? That's the name of that keynote speech to the members of the 143rd Basic class. So very, very happy about that. Very proud of that. I wanted to share it with you. All right, look, I mean, we need some good news, right? Oh, we've got some good news, sort of, at 4:05. John Burkett, crime insider from CBS 6, is dropping by. There's been an arrest down in Chesterfield of one of the alleged miscreants who allegedly beat a New York City police officer brutally over the weekend up in the Bronx. You've heard the story, right? Terrible story. Well, the New York City Police Department, the U.S. Marshal Service, everybody apparently figured out this dude was in Chesterfield. So he's under arrest. Now, there's another guy. We don't have the details yet, but I am hoping. I chatted with John right before we took to the air here. Chatted with John, and John says he's hoping that when he joins us at 4:05, he should have some additional information. Maybe there's another arrest in the offing. Maybe there's more developments. I don't know. But that's all the more reason to make sure that you are here at 4:05. Let me remind you, the James River Air text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. You can absolutely reach out anytime you want. Don't think that at 2 o'clock in the morning anybody's going to answer you. But if it makes you feel better, by all means, send it, and then we'll take a look at it when we can. Now, with all of the rain falling the last couple of days, there is literally water everywhere, but not a drop to drink in the city of Richmond, unless you boil the hell out of it. Wow. Tell me again how long a grace period I can't call him the new mayor anymore. How long does he get? Hasn't he been on the job now about 6 months? Excuse me, your honorship. This is now on you, is it not? You're going to take responsibility for this one. Now, I understand. Make no mistake. This is the never-ending legacy of the grossly incompetent LeVar Stoney. Huh? Of course it's on him. And that pathetic mayor we had before him. God. Anybody remember him? You do. Minister. Remember the minister? Right? Minister. And isn't he down in Chester? Well, his church is in Chesterfield, which caused some problems since there were apparently City of Richmond folks working on that church. You remember. Sure you do. But these two brain surgeons for 16 years solid ignored every single solitary important issue in the city of Richmond and focused exclusively on race baiting and cop hating. Oh, they excelled at that crap. And then LeVar Stoney, of course, just doubled down on all of that. And then tore down all the statues. Well, we are all better off now without those monuments on Monumentless Avenue, don't you think? I mean, crime is under control. The water's great. The schools are great. Potholes? No, there's not a pothole to be seen anywhere in the city. And the new Coliseum, man, I would go to that new Coliseum for any show at any time. Just great. That's the legacy, right? Let me tell you. Right about now, there are companies looking to relocate in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Why? Well, because of great work that Governor Glenn Youngkin has done, and great work that Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears has done, and great work that Attorney General Jason Meares has done. But as they're looking at the entire Commonwealth, they are looking at the city of Richmond and saying, man, you can't even provide drinking water. Thanks. We're going the next exit down on 95. And the counties that are dependent in any way on the city of Richmond, I'm looking at you, Hanover. I love Hanover. As you know, I am a proud Hanoverian. But I'm just telling you flat out, guys, we got to get our act together and get our own damn water situation up and running somehow so we are not dependent on what is clearly the grossly, grossly mismanaged and incompetent Richmond water operation. Henrico, hey, I don't live there. You're on your own, right? But if I were Henrico, I'd be taking a look at it as well. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, what's today again? Oh, right, Wednesday. It's wet. It's Wednesday. By the way, you know how chilly it was earlier today? Now it's just muggy and stuffy. And again, we've got a few more days left of this sort of stuff. So I'm just giving the heads up. Water in the city of Richmond? Sure, it's everywhere, but if it's coming out of your tap, apparently you need to boil it for what, 3 days? 9 days? Go to the store and get bottled water? I don't know what to tell you. And I'm getting a little tired at this point of cutting extra slack for the, quote, new mayor of the city of Richmond. Look, dude, you ran for the office, okay? You wanted to be mayor. And there were plenty of us who thought, well, you know, how bad could he be? Certainly can't be as bad as the guy he's replacing, and he can't be as bad as the guy that he's replaced. So, okay, and he's a medical doctor, right? So at some point, he was pretty smart. Ought to be able to handle this. You're 6 months into it, man, and you don't have your people in place. That's on you. I'm just saying. You are 6 months in to being mayor, and the stuff that happens now is on you, not me. And if you guys just can't figure out how to keep this water system working, then you got big problems. Two words for you, Flint, Michigan. Media share some of the text coming in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, hey, Jeff Katz, how about the TV ad by Shannon Taylor for Attorney General? What does that mean when she says, now I'm coming for Trump? Thanks, Jeff and Goochlin. It means she doesn't know what the hell the job of Attorney General is, but she's also an absolutely, totally devoted leftist. No great shock there. She's an uber progressive. She and who's the other guy? Jay Jones, another one. Well, I'm going to prosecute Trump. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be, perhaps, Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And I would suggest that given the great job that Jason Meares has done for the last 4 years, I think he needs a little reelecting. That's what I think. I think that Jason Meares needs another 4 years. I think he's great. 804, hey, Jeff, all I can say is the city of Richmond is pure incompetence. I don't know how deep it goes, but the managers they've got are all incompetent. Well, that's all that's causing the problem. Yeah, well, okay. 804, not a drop of water to drink in Richmond, but in the city we do have speed bumps, potholes, and one-lane, one-way roads. I mean, we have speed bumps, people. What more do you want? 804, Jeff, the state should take over Richmond's city government. No, I don't want the city of Richmond. I don't want to pay for that. No, listen, I chose to live in Hanover County for a reason. People chose to live in Chesterfield for a reason. People chose to live in, well, all right, I mean, there are other places, I suppose, but my point is, it's your problem, not mine. And no, don't come begging me to fix everything that's wrong in the city. Not going to do it. Former Ambassador Francis Rooney is going to join us in a moment. Tell us a little bit about, some of the developments with the new Pope. I think it's very interesting stuff. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. It is Wednesday, and looks like some of the rain is going to start picking up yet again. It's just kind of muggy and sticky. It had been really, well, I'm going to say cold. I felt cold earlier today, that cold driving rain, and now we got it coming back. And again, we're just going to be in this kind of a mix for the next couple of days. Bear that in mind. 4:05, our good friend, my buddy, John Burkett, crime insider over at CBS 6, is going to be with us. There's been an arrest down in Chesterfield of one of the alleged perpetrators of that awful, brutal beating of a New York City police officer. I'm sure you saw the story. I mentioned it the other day. It happened over the weekend up in the Bronx. And they just beat this officer to within an inch of his life, stole everything from him, and then they fled. And one of them was captured earlier today by the United States Marshal Service. I think some representatives from NYPD, I'm sure the Chesterfield County Police on the scene as well. But John Burkett from CBS 6 will have a full report at 4:05. So I am looking forward to chatting with him. We have this new pope, right? He's been on the job for a couple of weeks now. He's actually an American. Are there things going to change? It's been interesting to me to see and hear and read people on all sides politically here in the United States telling us what his politics are. And they're 180 degrees the opposite from what the other side here is saying. I have no idea, and I'm not really totally sure what our relationship is with the Holy See. I'll tell you who probably does know a thing or two. He's been with us before, I'm so happy to say. Ambassador Francis Rooney was our ambassador to the Vatican. He served in Congress for a number of years, and now he's just sort of a man about town who every once in a while visits, and I'm happy to have him here. Mr. Ambassador, thanks again for visiting.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell me, what's your sense here? We have the first time ever an American pope. Are we going to see a different relationship between the Vatican and the United States?
Well, I think it's pretty exciting that for Catholics and non-Catholics alike that we have an American pope. I think it will influence a lot of positive ways in the United States as far as interest in the church, interest of young people perhaps. And you've seen all the intensity of the media on the Vatican more than I've ever seen before. I mean, it's been pretty incredible how interested all types of the media have expressed about this.
They sure have. What is the normal relationship? You were there for what, 3-4 years? Did you visit with the Pope on a regular basis, or was there something else going on?
Usually I dealt with the people in the Secretary of State's office, but 3 or 4 times a year I have something to come up where I would speak with Pope Benedict. And he really was a very strong fan of the United States, our Constitution, particularly our First Amendment, separation of church and state. He used to lecture at Notre Dame. He was very familiar with the country. And so we had a very willing partner diplomatically with Pope Benedict. Not quite so much with Pope Francis, who had some hostility to the United States. He had that Latin American liberation theology. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to have an American pope who understands both the United States and the world and can bridge that gap. And I think that's very, very interesting and exciting for the church.
Tell me what you think the reaction is throughout the church. As you say, it's the first American pope. We get that. He has a view that encompasses, obviously, growing up in the Midwest, in Chicago, and all of that stuff. Do you think that other folks inside the church are going to be shocked or surprised by some of the things he says or does?
There may be a few Italians or Europeans that can't understand why we have an American pope, but not very many. I think he wouldn't have won if he didn't get a lot of votes and a lot of Italian and European votes.
Right.
I think they're going to be really pleased. I think they know what they've got because he's been around Rome the last few years in charge of bishops. Before that, he was around Rome as the head of the Augustinian order. Mm-hmm. He's probably been living in Rome since 2002 or 3.
Okay.
And so he's a known quantity, and they made a good, wise choice, and I think they're going to be glad they did.
Ambassador Francis Rooney is with us. He was the ambassador to the Vatican for President Bush. What about the significance of the name? A lot of us heard the name Leo the 14th. Some, I'm sure, jumped online to Google some stuff. Why that name as opposed to another name? What do you see as the significance?
Oh, that's a very significant choice that he made. Pope Leo XIII, the last Leo before him, was the Pope during the time of the Industrial Revolution, and he wrote probably the most famous papal writing of all time, Rerum Novarum, about the injustices and dislocations and inequalities that were resulting from the rapid wealth made in the Industrial Revolution. Hmm. And now what do we have now? We have a AI, IT, social media-driven revolution ourselves, and we're trying to struggle as to how to deal with that.
Right, right. Well, I think it is fascinating. I'm a Philadelphian, so I'm just thrilled to hear that he was a Villanova guy. That says lots to me.
Yep. If you're an Augustinian, you're a Villanova guy, even if you didn't go there.
I won't share with you that I spent time at St. Joe's on City Line. Shh, that's just between us. Don't take that the wrong way. But no, I mean Nova always had the best basketball team. Raleigh Massimino, if you remember him back in his heyday, they were getting stuff done. What about the relationship politically? Because this is the part that's really, really puzzled me, Ambassador Rooney. I have seen both people on the left and people on the right describe Pope Leo XIV's political leanings, and they're each diametrically opposed. He can't be both of these things, correct?
Well, that pretty well tells you that none of them are exactly right. I think you're going to see a pope here that will want to continue some of the important social justice and immigration sensitivity principles that Pope Francis put forth consistently. Right. But I think you'll see him do it in a more measured manner than some of Pope Francis's way of doing things. Okay. But I also think you see a guy who is going to focus on church doctrine, how the church organization works, a lot of the more blocking and tackling things that certainly Pope Francis didn't deal with, and in the doctrine, Pope Benedict was very strong, and so you're going to get a little bit of both, and they need both, okay? They've had these huge scandals. They need someone to get a handle on the finances. The church is not really, the leaders of the church have not proven themselves to be really great with finances. They get taken advantage of by a lot of unscrupulous people.
Right.
And I think the internal operation of the Curia will be better because Pope Leo ran the Augustinian, so he knows how to run an organization.
Interesting. Well, I of course am sitting, I think, like many people on the sidelines, excited about this, anxious about it. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing. Now, the most important question that many of us have, White Sox or Cubs, do you have any inside information on his affinity there?
Oh, no, that's a slam dunk. He's White Sox guy.
Oh, all right. Well, okay, he's lost one or two people that way, but I guess he's picked up a few on the other side with that. Ambassador, I appreciate you taking time. I know you're a busy guy, but it is wonderful to get you back, and look forward to chatting again in the not-too-distant future.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. That is Ambassador Francis Rooney. He served as our American ambassador to the Vatican, somebody who really does have some insight that I just haven't heard elsewhere. Every time I read one of these conflicts on Pope Leo XIV's politics, right? There's a left-wing person going, he's this, this, and this, and there's a right-wing person saying he's this, this, and this, and they're completely opposite. All I can think of, does anybody remember Schrodinger's cat? Do you remember the Schrodinger's cat? All right, if not, I'll tell you what it is. If you know what it is, do me a favor, real fast, I know it sounds silly, but hit me up over on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I'm just curious, is this just one of those things that psychologists know a little bit about, or philosophy people know about? Because it is one of those things that, in all candor, you need to know about, because I think we see a lot of examples of Schrodinger's cat. I really do. I really, honest to goodness, do. And I'm just curious to know if you know about that. Oh, did anybody else get stuck, and I am saying stuck, watching the finale of Handmaid's Tale? Oh, God! Just awful. 7 years we invested in that stinking show, and the payoff last night, I'm thinking, man, I could have sat alone in a box and come up with a better season series finale. But maybe I'm just alone. Hey, it is 3:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 3:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yeah, rain's picking up again, and it's going to be with us for the next few days. You will deal with it. Like, we're all going to deal with it, right? Yeah. John Burkett, my buddy, the crime insider over there at CBS 6, is going to be with us right at 4:05. We've got an arrest made down in Chesterfield. And I don't know what other developments there might be, but John will have the details because there are two suspects who allegedly beat a New York City police officer almost to death this past weekend up in the Bronx. And then they fled. One of them, anyway, has been arrested here, again, in Chesterfield. You've got U.S. Marshals. Chesterfield County Police, I'm sure, are involved. State Police might be. I don't know how many operations are there. But John has those details, John Burkett, and he'll be with us at 4:05. You know, John Burkett is nominated for Best Television Personality in the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best Of competition. How do I know he's nominated? Well, I nominated him, and now other people are nominating him. If you would like to get on board, because I would like to see him win, all you need to do is head on over to go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. While you're over there, please vote for The Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. I would love to win it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd like to win it this year, and if I'm around, I'd like to win it next year. And then I won't ever, ever have to tell you about it again. Because if you win one of these categories 7 years in a row, you are retired. You kind of go into their Hall of Fame or whatever it is, and then I don't have to bug you anymore. So see, there's a little something in it for you. Again, I know there are a couple of like music people who somehow got nominated. They're making a very big error there in continuing their campaigns. Why? They should be supporting me. They should be urging their dozens of listeners to vote for me. And then that takes me out of the competition sooner, then they have a better chance of winning. I'm just saying, look, I'm a strategy sort of a guy. I've looked at how the cards are dealt here, so you might want to think about that. But, you know, again, that's tomato handbag. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. Who is Schrodinger's cat? What is Schrodinger's cat? He's a cat in a box. You can't see in the box. Is the cat dead or alive is the question. The answer is yes. Yes, he is. Huh? Well, if you can't see the cat in the box, even though you know the cat is in the box, but you can't see him and you can't touch him, you can't feel him, you really don't have any interaction with the cat, but you know he's in the box. He could be alive or he could be dead. How can something be both dead and alive and exactly that at the same time? That's the point of Schrodinger's cat. That is the point. It is your perspective which will decide for you personally whether he is dead or alive. You can say with any degree of authority based on your personal observations at that point, yes, he is alive. How do you know? Yes, he is dead. How do you know? Now, you might have some information. Well, I saw Schrodinger put him in the box. Oh, okay. So he was alive then. Yeah, absolutely he was. When was that? I don't know. Is he dead or alive? And once again, the answer is yes. Yes. It's a thought experiment. The hypothetical cat is in a closed box. Can't see into the closed box, can you? Nope. Therefore, the cat can be considered to be simultaneously both alive and dead while it's unobserved. It is a paradox. Not a pair of socks, a paradox. God, every once in a while I have to explain stuff. It's just, it's craziness. All right, we got a lot of other great stuff that we are going to be dealing with as we head through the afternoon. I will remind you that we got Mike Dickinson, who's going to be dropping by, and there are more scandals in the city of Richmond. Gosh, who could possibly have imagined? And with all of the scandals happening in the city of Richmond, the former mayor of the city of Richmond, who is responsible for so damn many of the scandals and failures, LeVar Stoney is running for lieutenant governor. Oh, you know what else he picked up the endorsement of LeVar Burton, which means absolutely positively nothing. But there you have it. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. Rain is picking up yet again, and I mentioned it to you. It's going to be with us for a bit. Next couple of days, one way or another, we're going to get rain. It's going to be kind of chilly, and then the afternoon when it lets up a little bit, as it was earlier today for an hour or two, going to be real muggy and a little bit warmer. So, is what it is. We'll get through it. We'll deal with everything as we are looking forward to summer. I don't know about you. I really am honestly looking forward to summer. Terrible story the other day out of the Bronx, New York. An off-duty New York police officer, who, by the way, was still in uniform, according to the New York Post, was savagely attacked, beaten, and had everything stolen from him. Grabbed his gun belt, his uniform belt, with his gun in it, and then they took off. Well, John Burkett, the crime insider at CBS 6, has some developments on these aforementioned gentlemen, and I'm just so happy that he's joining us pretty much real time here to bring us up to speed. John, it is always great to hear from you, and I'm looking forward to hearing all the details, my brother.
Well, good to talk to you too, Jeff. It's I don't know why they made their way down south to Chesterfield, but yesterday the U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force picked them up on a home off of Kingsland in Chesterfield in a neighborhood called Indian Acres. Mm. And they arrested a 23-year-old Tavion, I had to get his last name, it's Tavion something.
Okay.
But anyway, they arrested him, and apparently, I'm told by sources that they believe the other suspect is in this area as well, and that the marshals will inevitably get him sometime today.
I have no doubt that you looked at the images, the video out of New York City. This was absolutely horrific what they allegedly did, right?
Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, it appears, if you follow what the mayor up there has been saying, this guy was walking home. 4 o'clock in the morning, he had just gotten off duty, he was still in uniform, and he never even saw these guys, he never saw it coming.
Yeah.
And these guys attacked him from behind, and they beat him, and as you said up top, they stole his credit card, stole his wallet, stole his iPhone, stole his gun belt, which had his Glock on there, his service weapon on there.
Yep.
And then I don't know if you read that New York Post article, Jeff, this is where you go to the bottom of it. It talks about one of the suspects' fathers, it's the suspect who was caught yesterday by the Marshal Task Force. Mm-hmm. His father allegedly used the credit cards from the officer to go on a spending spree.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord. To even begin to imagine that we're living in this day and time, John, where these two thugs, alleged thugs, whatever the terminology is going to be, have no hesitation at all about attacking a uniformed police officer. Say what you will about anything else, but to think that that is what you're going to do, and then they go out and do it, and just so vicious, and again, not a single solitary concern for the officer, 27-year-old kid, or his potential family, or anybody in the community. So if anybody thinks they're safe when you see what happened to that police officer, just forget about it.
Yeah, and it's beyond being roughed up, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is this guy was beaten to near his life being taken.
That's right.
And it's just, it's amazing. And then also, you know, federal sources are telling me that this kid traveled down to Virginia with his own mother. So, you know, mom must have known, hey, son, why do you want to flee? Oh. Well, what's going on? So.
All right. Now that's what I want you to jump into. The person who has been arrested, Tavion Hargrove, age 23.
Hargrove, yeah, that's it.
So mother and father then, as you say, the dad, according to the New York Post, used the stolen cop's credit cards to go on a spending spree. Mom travels with Tavion Hargrove. What is their connection to Virginia?
Well, apparently, my sources tell me they're trying to figure that out. They think it's an alleged friend's house that they traveled to in Chesterfield. I know I spoke with someone in that neighborhood earlier this afternoon, mm-hmm. and she said that a house was sold a couple of years ago, and it was sold to a couple that lived in New York. So that makes sense. That, you know, obviously there's some kind of a New York connection there between them. So I don't know if it's friends, distant family, I don't know. But certainly investigators are trying to put that piece of the puzzle together.
Wow. And I'm going to remind everybody, number one, John Burkett joining us, the crimes insider from CBS 6. The New York City Police Commissioner, Jessica Tisch, says that this Tavion Hargrove was, in fact, arrested by the U.S. Marshals Capital Area Regional Fugitive Task Force, along with NYPD detectives. John, do you have any information from your sources? Have they taken him back to New York, or is he lodged, at least temporarily, here in the Commonwealth?
I was told that he is here temporarily until an extradition hearing could happen.
Okay.
Obviously, I think he's going back.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you read that bit in the Post that they arrested him with the victimized officer's handcuffs. Oh. And you used to be a police officer, so you may know. I mean, is that something they do in these situations? I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. Kiki Camarena's son is a judge down in Texas, the DEA agent who was brutally slaughtered many years ago. And the suspect in his dad's murder case, in fact, was arrested with his handcuffs. I think some agencies do that. Some I haven't heard about it as the thing, but good. I mean, you know, I'm looking at it and good. That's a good thing. I'm happy to hear that. Go ahead.
I just didn't know what kind of symbolism that is. I mean, obviously the marshals, they're some of the best as far as intelligence wise, gathering intelligence on fugitives and tracking them down. It's not if you hear the marshals are after you, you may as well just give up.
No
because
kidding.
Those guys, they'll find you anywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, you are not going to escape the Marshal Service. What about this other guy? Was it Wayne Lucas, 23 as well? Is he
So I'm hearing from sources there's a good possibility he may be in the Metro Richmond area. And I think the Fugitive Task Force is on to him.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get word here soon that they, you know, maybe they got him too.
Okay.
But obviously, I guess they fled all together into this area.
Well, the family that, oh, God, it's just ridiculous.
It's pretty sad, dude.
Listen, do me a favor. I don't need to drag you back on the air, but if, in fact, you hear before 6 that Mr. Lucas is now visiting with the marshals, just text me, would you? Let me know, and I'll share it with everybody. I'm assuming that you're going to be doing an extended feature on this for CBS 6.
Yeah.
What time should we be looking for it?
I'll have it tonight at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And here's a tease for you. I'll have a story either tomorrow night or Friday night that you're gonna call me and ask about.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you won't believe it.
Okay. All right. Well, you've got me hanging in suspenders now, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But you just remember.
When I heard it, I just shook my head. I was like, oh,
wow.
Boy.
Okay, well, I can almost guarantee I will do exactly that. And I guess at some point, Mr. Lucas, Mr. Hargrove, they must be new because at some point somebody would have said Chesterfield in ancient history was known as Arrestafield. You may want to think about Henrico, gentlemen. This is not a good place for you.
Well, they definitely didn't do their homework, because Chesterfield does not put up with that mess.
Exactly.
And I can say that as a resident of Chesterfield County, that you mess around, you know, you'll find out here pretty quickly that it's not a good place to get picked up at. Mm-hmm. And that, and I don't know how they were tipped off that he was down here, but obviously I think New York detectives were with the task force when they made the bust.
Yeah.
So I think they had, all the way around, I think they had pretty good intelligence.
No doubt about it. John, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is John Burkett, the crime insider at CBS6. So one of these suspects, as John broke for us, Tavion Hargrove has, in fact, been arrested. He was arrested in Chesterfield, arrested by the United States Marshal Service, their Capital Area Regional Fugitive Task Force. I don't know how to break this to anybody. I actually have in my possession one of their challenge coins. Just a little background. One of our Blue Friday honorees, a recipient of the Lieutenant Jan McTernan Blue Friday honor a couple of years back, had a connection to that task force, knew I was a challenge coin collector. And so as we speak, I'm looking at that challenge coin. It's pretty impressive. Not as impressive as the marshals that did the job, but the coin itself is pretty cool. And they were accompanied by NYPD detectives. And as you heard CBS6 crime insider John Burkett report exclusively here, Tavion Hargrove arrested with the handcuffs ordinarily carried by that officer he is alleged to have beaten so brutally. There you go. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. It is also rather wet, and it's going to remain wet. And, it'll remain Wednesday for a little bit anyway. We've got some good stuff coming up. I got to tell you. The audacity of LeVar Stoney to run for anything other than the Hills is just beyond me. And yet, here he is. He wants to be the Democrat Party's nominee for lieutenant governor. I don't have any confidence in the Democrat Party anymore. And this is part of the reason why. LeVar Stoney absolutely destroyed the city of Richmond. And now the Democrats are seriously considering having him as their nominee for lieutenant governor. It's absurd. It's upsetting. It's disgusting. And yet, there you go. The current mayor has not shown to me at any point that he knows what he's doing. Now, I wish that were not the case. I know he's still relatively new on the job, but at some point, don't you have to say, I should get some new people? He seems to be pseudo-governing by crisis. That's a terrible way to govern. If I have to hear him tell us to boil water again, then I will have lost all confidence. You have to know the history of the city of Richmond. You have to know what it was and what happened to it. And you have to look at the two mayors who served before this guy. You have to look at the disaster that was 8 years of Dwight Jones. An absolutely awful excuse for a mayor. You have to look at the gross, utter incompetence of LeVar Stoney and his administration. 8 years. If you don't know those things, then you don't know those things, and that's okay, but please, I do. So when I hear LeVar Burton, who played, I don't know, some character on Star Trek, and some sort of PBS show he was on. Right? He's an actor. I don't know. Maybe he's a good actor. I can't recall. I'm sure he's a great actor. You know what he's not? He's not from Central Virginia. He's not clued in on LeVar Stoney. And his endorsement? means absolutely jack diddly squat. We'll chat with the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor in just a moment. It's 425. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. The rain has absolutely begun to pick up yet again. And it is going to be with us for a while. I'm telling you, I keep looking at the forecast. And every day that I take a look at it, and I'm listening to Matt DiNardo and the whole team over at 8 News, Storm Tracker 8. And I don't see anything. Well, hang on a second. I'll roll. Wait a minute. I stand corrected. Monday looks like we could see some sunshine returning for a day or two. Okay, I'll take it. Gives me something to look forward to. Monday is June the 2nd. That's going to be a good day. So that'll be great. Quick reminder. You have the opportunity to support some of our friends in the Best of Richmond competition. The Richmond Times-Dispatch has the nomination category open as we speak. Again, John Burkett, CBS 6 Crime Insider, who's just with us. I nominated him as the best TV personality. I think he's a great dude. Solid reporter, honest guy. So if you want to support him, you want to support the Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show, would love for you to do that. This, again, is the nomination phase. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. And here's a shock for you. We are once again hearing the mayor of the city of Richmond tell us you've got to boil your water, saying things like, well, we're working on it. It's all okay. We've got the school board, which is out of control. I mean, it's just craziness. And all of these disasters are leftovers from LeVar Stoney. But not to worry. LeVar Stoney today picked up the endorsement of LeVar Burton, who I don't think you could point towards Richmond. I don't think he could find Richmond on a map. But what have you. Now, that being said, as LeVar Stoney is attempting to become the Democrat nominee for lieutenant governor, we know who the nominee is on our side, or my side anyway, John Reed, who most of you know is part of this team for a long time. Now the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor, and I'm going to remind everybody, we are happy on this program to host anybody who's running for one of these statewide offices. Got to be governor, lieutenant governor, or attorney general. You betcha. Happy to have you on. John has said yes, and so we're happy to have him on. John, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I'm glad to talk to you, Jeff. Didn't LeVar Burton, he hosted, what, Reading Rainbow or something on PBS back in the 80s? Or
that's right. That's right.
And then I guess he's been in a couple of movies. I don't know. Is that supposed to impress everybody? You can't drink water in Richmond because LeVar Stoney didn't pay any attention to the actual pipes and pumps and the functioning aspect of a major metropolitan area. But, wow, we got the Reading Rainbow guy endorsing him. That's fantastic. I love it.
There you go. My sincere hope, John, is that LeVar Burton uses some of that Hollywood money to buy everybody a couple of cases of bottled water. How appropriate, right?
Can you believe that we are back in this situation? Because this was really the linchpin moment for me where I thought, do I stay on the morning show at WRVA? It's a good job. I get to talk to you on a regular basis. Politics and Pints is fun. You know, it's a big microphone. Yeah. Or do I decide to quit the job, take a huge personal, professional, financial risk, and try to save Virginia from the Democrats who don't seem to be focused on anything that is actually making life better for Virginians. Instead, it's all this social justice warrior garbage. And when the first water crisis happened, and I drove down to the Capitol because I didn't believe it, that there was a porta toilet in front of the governor's mansion, the oldest governor's mansion in America. Mm-hmm. And there it was. And I thought, to heck with this. I've got to run because somebody has to fight back against this insanity. And here we are in late May with the same situation. And I feel bad for Danny Avila. I know he's a Democrat, and I'm not supposed to say anything nice about Democrats, but I'm still hoping that this poor guy can untangle the disastrous mess that is LeVar Stoney and the Democrat management of Richmond. It's shocking.
I don't know. John, I am with you. I mean, this is the LeVar legacy. And anytime you turn the corner, you look at something, you go, oh, he messed that up as well, didn't he? I'm losing a little patience with the not-so-new mayor at this point. Almost 6 months in, I'm thinking you should really have your own people in place. Now, they're still going to have to manage the disaster that LeVar Stoney left. But let's talk about some of this, because, again, you did take a major step to say, I'm going to do some things that are more important. Look, I love this radio station. We're getting ready to celebrate 100 years. I love working with you. All that great stuff. But there are things bigger, and I would dare say more important. We take a look in Northern Virginia, where once again, we have the transgender agenda coming before common sense. Some boys in a locker room doing nothing wrong who now all of a sudden are in big trouble, right?
Oh, yeah. And guess I'm in the car right now headed to Northern Virginia, because there's a growing sentiment amongst not just Republicans, but, you know, middle of the road voters who kind of didn't want to pay attention to politics, I think, just hoped that everything would work out, who were looking at situations like this where these boys are in the locker room and a biological girl who, you know, I'm not trying to be ugly to anybody, but she's convinced herself she's a boy. And for some reason, the adults aren't acting like adults, and they're placating this delusional attitude. She shows up, and I don't know what she's thinking, being provocative, videotaping the boys on her phone in the locker room, and then they investigate the boys. I mean, this is wrong on so many levels, and I keep looking for responsible, reasonable adults to protect the rights of the citizens, to protect the innocence of children, to protect young women. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this case, it's to protect young teenage boys. I mean, you know, normally we're not really focused on that, but in this case, they're the ones who were being violated.
That's right.
And none of these Democrats up in Northern Virginia, I don't know whether it's a cult-like mentality where they're not allowed to say anything that will distract from their kind of overzealous attitude towards the trans ideology, but I'm going to do it. And I've got a very unique position to speak out on these issues, given the people I've been around for 30 years of my adult life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to speak out against this. And I think there's a growing number of people who are looking for that type of leadership. It doesn't mean harming anyone or being rude to anyone. It means being reasonable and protecting the rights of all of our citizens. And that's been lost with Democrat leadership.
No doubt about it. John Reed is joining us. John is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. What about the school boards telling other folks, we're not interested in your opinion. Your opinion, since it differs with ours, as an example, on the trans stuff in the locker rooms, forget about it. You can't even speak out.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, I posted it on my Facebook page, and I hope everybody's following me on there, because I think it'll give you an idea of how hard I'm working to try to earn everyone's votes. Whether you listen to me on the radio or not, I'm really working hard to earn confidence and trust. But I posted the video of a young girl, an actual biological girl, who stood up before the school board up in Northern Virginia and said, you know, this is wrong, and they kept cutting her off because she was referring to the specific scenario that has sent so many people into, you know, understandable outrage. And I thought, once again, how can you be on the school board and have your client, and the students are one division of your clientele,
that's right,
coming to express in a very legitimate way, you know, not one of these random start stomping your feet and smashing things in the street, mm-hmm, which everyone, you know, do they try to pretend that that's legitimate protest? I mean, this person very reasonably is coming to speak to you, and they kept interrupting the girl, telling her not to reference certain things. And I thought, it's impossible. When this society is more accommodating for angry mobs in the street smashing things than it is for rational people to express themselves at a podium in front of the elected body, we've almost lost the society, and somebody's got to fight to take it back.
Well, you have entered the ring. There's no doubt about that. You are the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. We only elect three folks statewide for our state offices: governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. It seems to me we've put together a pretty good slate on our side.
I think it could be a remarkable ticket, and you know what it does is it robs the Democrats of their very, very tired, abusive, erroneous attitude that somehow Republicans are, you know, by default, racist and homophobic and xenophobic. You've got Winsome Sears, an ex-Marine. I guess you're never an ex-Marine, but a Marine from Jamaica who's been lieutenant governor, who's been in the House of Delegates, who's running for governor. Yes, she's black. That's not the primary reason that she's the nominee, that's true. You got Jason Meares from a family that escaped communist Cuba, who's Latino. And then you've got me with the gay background, which is, I hope everybody realizes, I'm not asking you to vote for me because I'm gay. I will ask you not to not vote for me because of that. But when you look at my experience and the things that I fought for over the decades, on the radio and, quite frankly, in the halls of the Capitol in Washington, on all these campaigns, I hope people will say, hey, this is our chance in Virginia and, quite frankly, across the United States to smash the ugly things that the Democrats say about us. It's a great opportunity, and I'm hoping people are going to step up and say, let's seize this opportunity. Let's jam this back at the Democrats and show them out to be the frauds that they are.
Absolutely. John, I want people to reach out, learn more about the campaign, help out, get a sign, whatever. Remind everybody of that website, would you please?
It is johnreedforvirginia.com, all spelled out. You know, the last name is R-E-I-D, johnreedforvirginia.com. There are issues on there. You know, some people don't put their issues because they're trying to just have happy pictures with hot dogs and kitties and cats and you know, ice cream stands.
Yep.
There's too much on the line for me to just try a campaign like that. I'm going to tackle the tough issues, and you'll see it there, and you'll see it on Facebook, and I'm really excited about it. And I have voted to nominate you for Best Afternoon Radio Show. So I just want you to know that even in absentia, Jeff, I'm on your side trying to help you win that one.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, I've been with the Reid campaign, if you will, a supporter of John Reid since you announced. Well, I think even before you announced, I said
even before you were one of the first people I told about this.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you, and we're going to continue doing everything we can to talk with you, talk about you, share that message. That is my friend John Reid. He is the Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor. JohnReedForVirginia.com. And I want to use this opportunity to remind everyone, if you run into the Democrats, there are six of them seeking their party's nomination for lieutenant governor, please extend to them an invitation on behalf of me to visit this show as well. If you should encounter Abigail Spamberger, the Republican nominee for governor, by all means, extend an invitation on behalf of me to her to appear on this show. There are two people seeking the Democrat nomination for attorney general, and the same request is out there. Extend to them on my behalf an invitation to appear on this show. I don't want John to be the only one. Look, I love John, and I'm voting for John, and I voted, you know, all that stuff. But I don't want him to be the only one. There are a lot of people who have jumped into this. I want them all here. So just so you know. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 452, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Oh, this will shock you. There were numbers involved, so I screwed something up. Somebody on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, said, hey, Jeff, now you're telling us there's only a day and a half left to get that $1,000 off per couple on the big adventure you and Heidi are leading to the Christmas markets, etc. But didn't you also say that it ended on the 30th? Yeah. Fine. You caught me. I screwed up. I forgot to carry the, I don't know, whatever number I was supposed to carry. I didn't carry it, or there's no numbers to carry. Well, whatever. Yes, I did, in fact. Yes, so you, I still don't think you should wait till the last minute, but the $1,000 off per couple ends on Friday, which is the 30th. And tomorrow would be, that's right, tomorrow would be the 19th. No, the 29th. See what I told you? But that would still be available. My suggestion, though, honest to goodness, just pick up the phone and call 800-383-3131. 800-383-3131. That's the number for Cruise and Tour. And when you call them now at 800-383-3131, yes, you will be able to take $1,000 off per couple. And if you are traveling on your own, you will be able to take $500 off per person. Okay? There. They're numbers. And I'm not a numbers guy. In fact, I'm so far from being a numbers guy. You now understand why that is. All right. The 5 o'clock hour. You think anything else is going to go wrong in the city of Richmond? Well, I would take the over on that as opposed to the under, I'll tell you that. Another crisis as a result of gross incompetence and mismanagement at the hands of LeVar Stoney for 8 years? Yeah, it's a pretty good bet. What's happening at the Richmond City Jail? Will the sheriff of the city of Richmond, the worst sheriff in America, be able to turn it around by tomorrow? No. Could there be another inmate death by tomorrow? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an absolute disaster down there. Anyway, we'll chat with Mike Dickinson at 5:35. Mike, as you know, he's our local Andy No. He's following all sorts of stories nobody else wants to follow, and he's getting the details for us. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., I would urge you, please, to listen to my friend Rich Herrera. Rich is the host of Richmond's Morning News Now. Ran into Rich the other day down at the Virginia War Memorial. Really nice to chat with him. Such an event down there. Say their names. Some photos are up now. I have a new animated thing on the page. If you go to Facebook, look for Radio Cats. Radio Cats on Facebook. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA, Wednesday, and we've got rain. It was sort of on and off and on. Well, now it's here. It's raining. It's just raining, which is kind of odd with all of this water everywhere. All together now, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink in the city of Richmond. Oh, boil your water and then boil it again. And if your heads are not about boiling at this point, if the blood in your body is not quite boiling from the gross incompetence in the city, you will be happy to know that the relatively new mayor of the city of Richmond, Dr. Donny Avuli, has apparently called in one of those big-time strategic political advisors, Dr. Ross Geller. What did he have to say?
Here we go. Pivot! Pivot! Pivot!
All right, well, there you go. Pivot is your word of the day. Well, once we get through this crisis, we're going to have to pivot. Look, your mayorship, you have done nothing but pivot from one flipping crisis to the next. Now, you seem to be a nice guy. I don't know that that's one of your strengths in all candor, but nonetheless, you seem to be a nice guy. You're a woke, goofy leftist like everybody else in the political world, it seems, certainly inside the city of Richmond with one or two notable exceptions. And that's okay. I don't care. Not my thing, but you knock yourself out. But there does come a point where this is your mess. We all know that you didn't create it. I'm totally willing to stipulate to that, Your Honor. This relatively new mayor was too busy telling everybody to go hide under their beds and get COVID shots while most of this was going on to be involved in it. I know. I mean, that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing. But there does come a point, even though we know the destruction of the Richmond water infrastructure hasn't occurred in the last 6 months. It has occurred in the last 18 years. It occurred during those collective reigns of error known as the administrations of Dwight Jones and LeVar Stoney, two of the least competent human beings you could find on planet Earth. But you wanted this job. You asked people to give you this job, and you promised them you could handle it. You said you knew how to manage things, how to manage people. All right. The first screw-up is the water crisis, right? That happened, what, like the day after, 2 days, a week after the poor guy took the oath of office? All right, then that's not on you. And I sat here, even as we were organizing for deliveries of bottles of water that you were not doing out of the mayor's office, just for the record, but I was doing sitting here at this microphone. I was willing to say, and I did say, hey, you can't blame this relatively new mayor for this. I had your back on that one. But we've had nothing but a crisis after a crisis after a crisis with you since then. We take a look at the schools. This was your opportunity to make a mark, to do something positive for the children of the city of Richmond. And I don't know why you didn't say anything. I don't know why you weren't out there saying that this guy sitting in the superintendent's office has exactly zero accomplishments during the time he's been superintendent. There's no improvement in any area. And you said nothing about replacing him. In fact, you seemed to be happy when the school board, the only collection of people less competent than the staff at the mayor's office, decided to extend his contract by 4 years. It's outrageous. Victims there? The children who attend RPS. Maybe it's because your wife is a school teacher. Right? Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe you didn't want to shake up her world too much. Maybe she's got a good deal over at, was it Chimborazo where she teaches? I don't know. Maybe you thought, okay, well, I'm going to leave well enough alone. I got these potholes to deal with, and we have the Coliseum, which isn't the Coliseum anymore, but now is the world's largest urinal. Yeah, we should do something about it. Okay, whatever. But another water crisis? Another appearance by you on mic, on camera, suggesting to everybody that they boil their water? Are you mayor of Richmond? Or are you mayor of some third world city somewhere where a boil water advisory is just, you know, what happens on Wednesday? This ought not be happening here, sir. And 6 months into your term, it is your problem now. The infrastructure hasn't crumbled as a result of you. However, the management of that infrastructure is absolutely, totally, 110% in your court right now. You need to do something. It would appear at this point you have done nothing. Do we have a current city administrative officer, or are we currently looking for a city administrative officer? Anybody at the water department who's ever been in charge of the water department? How about the tax bills? Oh, well, you know, I got the tax bill too. Okay, well, so what? How about fixing some of these problems? Governor Youngkin at the state level has created such an amazing financial economic atmosphere for our beloved Commonwealth, that there are all sorts of companies all over the world looking to relocate to Virginia. And with all of the disasters happening in the city of Richmond, you know what they're doing, Mr. Mayor? They're seeing how far from the city of Richmond they can locate, if they're going to locate here. Any inkling as to why Chesterfield has picked up so many companies? Why Hanover has picked stuff up? Think about it. Right, these weren't companies looking to relocate to Northern Virginia. They're not in the government sector. They didn't need to be in Northern Virginia. Way too expensive. They thought Central Virginia would be a good place, but not the city. That's because of you. They might be on 95 as we speak, they're going to drive right by your exits, and they're going to go somewhere else. So this is now your problem. I will remind you, you asked to be the mayor. You asked for this, and you got it. Sometimes the worst dreams are the ones that come true, right? You wanted to be mayor, you are the mayor. My suggestion to you is start acting like the mayor. Start doing those things that a competent, world-class mayor would do. Stop sounding like your two predecessors who couldn't figure out how to open a doorknob. You are smarter than those two guys. But at the moment, you are failing miserably on that, hey, I want to be the mayor thing. You're not getting it done. And it's just a good reminder for the rest of us why, well, we didn't live in the city. We chose not to live in the city. And I will say, as I have said since the first water crisis, I love Hanover County. I love living in Hanover County. I love everything about Hanover County. But the one suggestion I have for my board of supervisors, my county manager, is this. Let's get disconnected from the Richmond City water system as soon as possible and get our own set up. Let's stop asking data centers to relocate and let's start figuring out how we can have our own water processing system so we are not dependent on Flint, Michigan Southeast Division. It's 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Quick reminder about our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Pam in Hanover says, hey, Jeff, what did Mayor Danny do to fix the first crisis? The second was excess fluoride. Oh, my God, you're right. There was another. Jeez, I can't keep track of them. The hits just keep on coming from the city of Richmond. That's right. They're in between that water crisis and this water crisis. There was the excess fluoride crisis. Huh. Jeff, is it possible that he really is not smarter than the other guys? God, what a horror show that would be if true, huh? Yeah. Dave in Claremont says, good afternoon, Jeff. Because of all the water problems, it's one of the reasons I'm glad I don't live in Richmond. Sorry for all of those folks. Yeah. Yeah, it is sad. 804, Jeff, what's up with John Reed? Not a peep of late. Really? Where were you? Like, I don't know, 45 minutes ago. If you missed, John was just here, actually. He's the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. I would suggest that you go to WRVA.com and listen to the conversation that he and I had, WRVA.com. JJ says, hey, Jeff, I am voting for John. Good, so am I. And then JJ goes on to say, and I'm voting for you as soon as you run. Well, you keep waiting. I will be running from office. Zero interest in being an elected member of any. I love service. I live for service. I will do anything. But run for office? Well, no. Oh, Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson was on. Who was he chatting? Was that Maggie somebody, right? Took her to school just a little bit. Take a listen to cut number one.
Well, one of your Republican colleagues over in the Senate has been very vocal about his concern in regard to what you're doing to Medicaid. Josh Hawley has been arguing it is morally wrong and politically suicidal to slash health insurance for the working poor. He said the cost sharing language will force people at or just over the federal poverty level to pay as much as $35 for a medical visit, which means working people will pay more. How do you defend that? Because you know in the Senate, they are going to make changes to this.
My friend Josh Hawley is a fiscal conservative, as I am. We don't want to slash benefits. And again, I make this very clear. We are not cutting Medicaid. We are not cutting SNAP. We're working in the elements of fraud, waste, and abuse. SNAP, for example, listen to the statistics. In 2024, over $11 billion in SNAP payments were erroneous. I mean, that's a number that everyone acknowledges is real. It may be much
Louisiana
higher
Louisiana is like the second largest recipient of food stamps in the country, sir.
So Let me explain it, Margaret. The states are not properly administering this because they don't have enough skin in the game. So what we've done in the bill is add some, just a modest state sharing component so that they'll pay attention to that, so that we can reduce fraud. Why? Again, so that it is preserved for the people that need it the most. This is common sense, Margaret. It's good government, and everybody on both sides of the aisle should agree to that.
Wow. Aw, poor Maggie went to school. All right. Poor Maggie was taken to school. You think she remembered anything? She wrote anything down? Took some notes? Probably not. Mike Dickinson's going to be along in just a moment. You know, there is, there's just nobody that follows the nonsense that happens in the city of Richmond in particular, like Mike Dickinson does. And I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I'm going to remind you, if you miss any part of this show or you just want to enjoy it again, go to WRVA.com. Take a listen to every single solitary piece so you do not miss anything. And tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Richmond's Morning News. Rich Herrera will be here. Want to make sure you are here for Rich as well. 525, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday, and you know this rain that we're getting right now? Get used to it. No, seriously, it's going to be around most of the night. There'll be some areas where it does let up overnight, and tomorrow, kind of sort of a mishmash. Definitely cloudy for everybody. Some pop-up showers here and there, and if you feel unwanted or unloved because a shower didn't pop up near you, not to worry. The days after that, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, yeah, you'll get your dose. So just dealing with it. It is what it is. On Wednesdays, our friend Mike Dickinson joins us. Mike is a rock-solid citizen reporter. He's undertaken the reporting on a lot of issues that, quite frankly, others are not doing. I've compared Mike many, many times to Andy Ngo. Andy has that big national footprint, and plenty of Mike's reporting has been picked up by a lot of national outlets as well. But we were first. And he's with us every week, which I always appreciate. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Anytime for you.
You are a good man. Now, I have to ask you, do we need to do the show today, or should we just go back to, what was it, January, when we had the first water crisis? Because the mayor fundamentally said exactly the same things today that he said then.
We are stuck in a cycle in Richmond of just continued incompetence. I mean, if I lived in Richmond, I would be putting out some buckets right now to collect the rainwater, because you're less likely to grow a third arm after drinking that than you are the drinking water in Richmond right now these days. You know, Monday, the city acknowledged, the city said, oh, we had a problem, but everything worked perfectly. It was kind of a celebratory press release they issued on Monday, saying that all the systems worked. There was a mild uptick in water, and because of that, the filters got clogged, but everything worked perfectly. You have nothing to worry about, Richmond. Tuesday morning, they started to backtrack that a little bit, and they were like, well, we're going to have to, some of the neighborhoods are getting bad water. We're going to have to put the brakes on it a little bit. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we're going to have to put the brakes on it. Tuesday afternoon, early evening, they knew they had a full-blown problem, and they issued the stop drinking boil water advisory for pretty much, I would say, 90% of Richmond. The Fan, the Museum District, Southside, Churchill, they put the brakes on everything. And then today, they just took another water sample this afternoon to see where it's at. And we haven't got the results of that yet, but you're exactly right. The mayor said all these same things back in January. So either the citizens of Richmond need to know that LeVar Stoney was incompetent, which we know, and that he kicked this can as long as he could, and the new mayor inherited a water system woefully flawed, or the new mayor is in over his head already and doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know Dr. Danny that well. I don't know a whole lot about him other than he was Ralph Northam's point man on the masking and the COVID scams in Virginia. But I will say that in my experience, there's usually a very big disconnect between people who have academic book learning and people who have boots on the ground knowledge of how things really happen. And I think that might be what's happening with this mayor. He may be too educated for his own good to be the mayor.
Yeah, what an interesting perspective, Mike, that he is, as many of us have said throughout the years about other people, he is book smart, but he's not really street smart.
I'd like to see him put on some boots and go down to the water plant and work a couple shifts down there and understand what's really going on. Because, I mean, not only in Richmond, but that's a big gap in America where we have all these academics say, oh, well, technically this and that, but the boots on the ground will tell you it doesn't really work like that. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's ever actually ran a major company, which is really what the city of Richmond, the job of the mayor is to be the CEO of a big company and manage money and manage results.
Right.
And actually know how things work. And the problem we had with LeVar Stoney is that he was just woefully incompetent and had never worked a real job other than be Terry McAuliffe's flunky. And right. Then Dr. Danny's been a public health administrator his whole life. He's never actually ran a business.
Yeah. Well, and that is a huge issue. The city of Richmond is a giant business. There are certain things that have to be done. There's certain things that cannot be done. There's a whole list of things. One of the things that I've noticed, Mike, and you tell me, you've run a business or two throughout the years, I don't think the good doctor has actually fired anybody yet, has he? I mean, it just seems like, well, we're working on this, we're getting a new one, the new model, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you've been there for 6 months at this point. Somebody should have been on your chopping block by now, and you should have announce some new appointments, right?
Can you imagine if President Trump, he wouldn't tolerate this. If you had an agency fail twice within 6 months, a major public service agency fail twice, Trump would have somebody's head on a platter. They would be done. He would have cleaned house of everybody.
Yep.
Don't care what you do. You obviously can't handle the job. You're done. And Dr. Danny needs to go into the public utilities, the water department specifically, and just clean house, fire everybody, find some new people that can bring new energy and can get things done. Because in business, as in life, the number one goal is to get things done and to provide a service that you're being paid for.
Right.
It's ridiculous that these people, the citizens, the businesses, the other counties that buy water from Richmond are expected to keep propping up the city of Richmond when at every turn the city of Richmond continues to prove itself unable to deliver anything. I mean, why would you keep going to the same McDonald's every day if the ice cream machine is broke? You're not. You're going to eventually just go somewhere else. And that's exactly what's happening now. You know, 6 months ago, oh, the ice cream machine is broke. I'm the new manager of the Richmond McDonald's. We're going to fix it. 6 months later, well, I'm sorry, the ice cream machine broke again. I don't know exactly what happened, but we're fixing it still. We're still fixing it.
Yeah. What about the schools? This is another part of this. Now, I know that the mayor is not necessarily the guy when it comes to RPS. However, the mayor, my humble opinion, should have been out front saying that the superintendent clearly has failed and we've got to find a new superintendent. Instead, he stood back. He basically applauded when the RPS board gave this guy another 4 years. And the only thing that I can think of, Mike, and I hope I'm not sounding like a conspiracy guy, but my thought is, with Mrs. Dr. Mayor Danny being a school teacher over at Chimborazo Elementary, maybe he decided, I'm just going to leave well enough alone.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of good school teachers out there, but there's also a lot that they are 100% teachers union, 100% The teachers' unions are always right. We're going to do everything we can to keep our budget fat with no accountability. And while that's not every school teacher, there's a lot of them that are like that. They don't really care about the results these days. They care about keeping that budget fat and keeping no accountability on the teachers. Remember, this is the same Richmond Public School Teachers Union that I believe it was last year, they were more concerned about getting their raises and having guaranteed job safety and guaranteed bonuses in their contract than they were about actually being accountable for the results they deliver. Yeah. So most of the people that are affiliated with the Richmond Public School Systems, they have the wrong priorities. Their priority is not to deliver the best job. It's to guarantee their own job safety and their own job payment.
Tell me a little bit about some of the Republican folks who are running for the House of Delegates in the city. Number one, I was, I guess, pleasantly surprised we had any Republicans running in the city, but not exactly the biggest campaigns, huh?
Right. Well, I'm glad that they managed to find four candidates, and I'm pretty sure, Jeff, that me and you had a lot to do with that because we're the only people that have continually pointed out that they don't run candidates. So I'm glad they found four people.
Yeah.
But they found four people that have minimal social media presence that I've never heard of, and I've heard of a lot of people, and maybe they can make themselves heard. If you're a candidate for a political office and you don't have $1 million behind you, you need to watch WWE and learn how to speak in catchphrases, learn how to speak in ways that can make people care about what you say. President Trump is a master at it. You can tell that he spent some time watching WWE at some point. Because you have to be able to deliver what you're trying to say clearly in ways that people remember and get it over. So yep. I would say to the people running, and we'll be discussing them more as we get further along in the election cycle, figure out what you're trying to say, figure out clever ways to say it so people remember you. And then you have to remember, Triple H said this on Tough Enough many years ago, from the time that you walk into the arena, from the time that you walk out, whether you're giving a speech, whether you're at an event, you're telling your story and you're telling what you're trying to say. And that's what they have to do. I mean, it's not a good look to go in there and, well, you say in 1 million words what you can say in 5. You've got to make it clear, concise, entertaining, and rememberable. Everything that President Trump does.
Yeah, President Trump is the first official WWE president. There's no doubt about that. Mike, it is always a pleasure, my friend. I always appreciate you being here. Looking forward to doing it next week. That is Mike Dickinson, our citizen journalist, our citizen reporter. Again, I keep telling you, he is our Virginia version of Andy Ngo. Good stuff there. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I need to take a couple of moments here and share something kind of personal. I mentioned to you last night I was honored. I keep using the word honored. Maybe I have to find a new word, but I was honored to speak at the Virginia State Police Academy, the 143rd basic class. And I presented my keynote speech, Why Would Anyone Want to Do That Job? That started, by the way, Heidi asked me questions. It started out as a speech I called Why Would Anyone Do That Job? And then I realized there was a much more important part of it. And that really is what this is about now. Why would anyone want to do that job? And as I was there at the academy, it's an impressive building. And I knew that there were great young men and young women in that class. And I knew what time I was supposed to start. And I knew that they had had a very long day. Their day starts at about 5:30. No, 5:40. I think one of the trooper trainees told me that's when you're outside and you're ready for PT. Okay, well, so your day begins really at 5. So here they were, 6:15 in the evening. They had to listen to me prattle on. But they were gracious, and I was honored. I was humbled. But inside that academy, when you walk in the front doors, to your left is a statue that is simply called the Trooper. And it's a beautiful, beautiful statue. But as you walk into that academy, you got a big hallway in front of you. To the left on the wall are photos of the superintendents. And to your right is a memorial gallery. And it contains paintings of each of the Virginia State Troopers who have died in the line of duty. And I stopped for a moment in front of each of them. I tried to reach each of them. Some of them are a little closer to home, if you will, especially Special Agent Mike Walter. Why? Today is 8 years to the day that Mike Walter was murdered, killed in the line of duty. It's tough to believe it's been 8 years, and there are moments where you think, I can't believe it's only 8 years. Mike Walter was a Marine. He was a state police special agent. He's an amazing husband and father. He truly represents everything that is right with service. And so on this, the 8th anniversary of his murder, I just want to say 4311, rest easy. We've got the watch. I want you to have a marvelous evening. Keep Mike and Jamie and their kids in your thoughts and prayers, please. Beware the weather. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.